Pod Save America is brought to you by Books. This Mother's Day, give mom her flowers. She deserves the best. That's why you should send her farm fresh flowers from Books. That's short for bouquets. And right now you can get 25% off your entire Books purchase. Here's why everyone likes the Books company. Books is different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they can last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano. Wow. Books has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Books is simple. You go online, pick the delivery date, and you're done. Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Books now. And with 20% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma. I am very happy that I'm reading this ad because now I'm remembering when Mother's Day is, and I'm going to order a whole bunch of Books because they're fantastic flowers. Go to Books.com and use promo code Crooked for 25% off. That's Books.com, promo code Crooked. Books, promo code Crooked.
Hey guys, Tommy Vitor, and today Elijah and I are excited to share some content that is usually only accessible if you're a Friends of the Pod subscriber. Friends of the Pod is our Crooked Media subscriber community. Get lots of great benefits like access to exclusive content, like what you're about to hear. We had ads-free episodes of Pod Save America, much, much more. You got our Discord server, which is a really fun chat room. Plus, by subscribing at the best friends level, you're not only enjoying premium content, but you're also helping fuel all the grassroots organizing we are doing through Vote Save America with your recurring donations. So thank you for that. Elijah, what do we got for the people today?
Today, we're going big with a best of episode pulled straight from our subscriber exclusive podcast, Terminally Online. Terminally Online is a weekly pod where Crooked hosts, staffers, producers get together to commiserate about being way too online as we make the shows here at Crooked Media. I'd also just say in the copy that you and I are excited to share this content. I'd say John and John are excited too. They're just on vacation and aren't here to read this.
They're just so excited that they left the entire state. But look, the show is a ton of fun. We're on it all the time. Favreau's on, Lovett's on. It's a rotating crew. People like Aaron Ryan, Alyssa Mastromonaco, Dan Pfeiffer, Louis Vertel. We have a blast. It's the loosest show on the Crooked Network and a little silly, but I think you'll enjoy it.
Absolutely. At the end of every episode, we rate each other based on how online our topics are. But this week, we need your help to finally settle the great Crooked Media debate. Who is the most online? You can weigh in by joining the Friends of the Pod Discord and vote for who you think is the most online, John, John, or Tommy. My money is on you, Tommy. That's what the copy says. My money's on Lovett, actually.
Yeah, my money's on Lovett, too. He is the only one who is, well, listen and you'll find out. To join, go to crooked.com/friends, and here's the episode.
As you all know, the children of famous political families have been causing all sorts of controversy recently. Mm. We have talked a lot about RFK Jr.'s truly nutty views on vaccines and a host of other issues.
Yes. I'm so excited you're doing this.
There is a pretty wild take from another Kennedy that went viral. The Rolling Stone headline about this is, "A Kennedy himbo's viral rant is making Nepo babies look good." Here's President Kennedy's grandson and Caroline Kennedy's son, Jack Schlossberg, talking about restaurants.
"And we have to wait there to eat something that we don't get to choose, really. We only have a couple choices, and you don't know what any of them are going to taste like or what's good. And we'll go eat there, and it'll be covered in sugar, and we're going to have to fucking talk to some guy about what we want to eat. And then we're going to need a couple more minutes to look at the menu, to read the menu. We have to read something in order to get the food first. You have to read to get your food. Why? You don't actually need to do that. And that's why I'm never, ever going to a restaurant.
It makes you so angry.
Because it ruins your whole life. You spend hours and hours eating at restaurants when you could spend a minute and a half eating something that is good for you.
And then what would you do?
And then you can go fucking lie down, you can go walk around, you could listen to music, you could get work done, you could hang out with your friends.
No, but their friends could want to have dinner with you or lunch.
Not everyone likes dinner.
They don't?
Yeah, a lot of people, most people in the world don't spend their life eating dinner.
Who's recording that? Do we know?
Doesn't it sound like Caroline Kennedy?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It sounds like her voice. Cannot confirm that, but it does sound like her.
You know what?
A few million views for that. What do you guys think about restaurants? Are they bad? Are menus bad? Is reading menus taxing?
I think people born as Kennedys with that bone structure shouldn't be allowed to share opinions.
No opinions for you. A lot Shut of the people fuck were, up. You haven't people, gotten enough negative feedback in your life.
Well, a lot of people have been forgiving that viral rant because he's so handsome.
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
Story of his goddamn life.
Yeah, absolutely. This is an attractive person's rant about the injustice of having to read, which I do. If you are handsome, I do agree you shouldn't have to. Our standards of what constitutes a himbo. I'm sorry. I need jacked, shirtless, drooling. Like this,
drooling.
Just a rich younger man. It does not a himbo make. I'm sorry. He doesn't deserve the title of himbo is my first response.
I'm sorry. His story is that you could, why go to a restaurant where you could eat something healthy in 90 seconds? What kind of life is that? Just eating vegetables over the sink? Shut up. Go back to Kenny Bunkport and leave us the fuck alone.
It's like, it'll be covered in sugar. It doesn't have to be covered in sugar.
You can go to any kind of restaurant.
Say you don't want the miso glaze, you rich fuck.
I think he has some confusion about the restaurants he's been to. Like, we only have a couple choices. Like, have you been to the fucking Cheesecake Factory? Right. Plenty of choices there.
Plenty of choices.
The menu's about 100 pages. And we have to read something in order to get the food first. Have you been to Denny's? Have you seen picture menus?
I am sort of on his
shabu
side.
Shabu shabu, healthy vegetables, pictures on the menu.
Check out a lot of picture menus.
Does he know about shabu shabu?
In his defense, he did. When asked what else would you be doing but going to a restaurant, his first example was go lie down. That is what I would like to do. So I'm like, he's not wrong. He does make some points.
The Variety piece on this said that there were echoes of Camelot.
I'll throw this fucking Diet Coke across the room. Echoes of Camelot?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
It somehow grouped Jack's thing with RFK Jr.'s views because it was like a new generation.
It does seem conspiratorial.
It's conspiratorial. And maybe a more benign conspiratorial.
Yeah, I'd say it is. I'd say it is more benign.
This is how it starts, though.
If people don't go to restaurants, kids don't die of measles.
Give him time. 40 years of that, he's going to be pumping iron shirtless and jeans.
He's starting strong for insanity 30 years from now. He's absolutely going to be president.
Totally.
Yeah. Anyway.
When we're all fighting in the Thunderdome, he waves at us.
Good one.
Yeah, it makes you think. It makes you think about, he's just asking questions about restaurants.
Yeah, just asking questions.
I get it.
I'm so glad you did this topic.
I enjoy a restaurant. I like eating at them. I like enjoying the company of other people who are at the restaurant.
I would say it's one of actually the great pleasures in my life.
Yeah. I don't know what else. I don't know what else I would be doing.
I don't do much else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If I cross that off my list. Whew.
I'll tell you know what's a joy too? Hey, you want to meet for dinner at 6 p.m.? Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Sign me up.
Oh, I mean, I have a toddler. I ate dinner at like 5 p.m.
Yeah,
I get home from this office. I need food immediately.
I almost said best thing about having a baby, but not the best thing. But one great thing about having a baby is you can make a 5 p.m. reservation and no one bats an eye at it.
Yeah.
She's just.
Emily and I go to bed and it's still light out these days.
The solstice.
Oh my goodness.
Solstice. It's the solstice.
Eat dinner at 5:30. You're in bed by 7:30.
Sounds like heaven. I'll be absolutely honest. Easier to get a reservation too.
Yeah.
Then it's 4:30 a.m.
They are up early. I'm shocked when I wake up on the East Coast and they're already up.
It's wild.
It's not by choice.
It's wild.
No, yeah, I wish I could sleep later.
My boys are early risers.
They're early.
6 a.m. is the new noon.
6 a.m. would be so sweet to sleep
cool.
To. Oh, I love that.
Anyway, you're a 3.
Okay, cool.
3.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm really glad you brought it, too. I'm glad someone.
No, I figured some people would see it, but I wanted to talk about it. Okay.
You guys are going to hate mine. So I regret to inform you that Republicans are rapping and they're doing it a lot. There's a lot of rapping
going on. I saw this. Oh my God.
Here's the first of 3 awful clips that you're going to have to sit through.
It's Vivek like cake. I'm not fake and I swim in a lake of truth. That's me, Vivek. Yeah.
That's Republican presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy, a.k.a. DeVake. He is freestyling there on Michael Smirkanish's
show. Oh, that was a freestyle?
Yeah.
I just realized that there are two
Everyone
people
in
this room
like,
covering their eyes with their hands.
He's the author of the books like Woke Inc., which attacks social justice movements. Not at all surprisingly, he now sells anti-woke investment products. So for a pretty big fee, you can buy into his ETFs and other investment products to, I guess, show how much you hate people like us. He's also running for president and hacked the system to get all this PR. But guys, unfortunately, this is not the first time he rapped. Vivek was a libertarian rapper as an undergrad at Harvard. Here's another clip from the good old days.
If you had one shot, one opportunity, you better lose your
Hit the music the moment you own it. You better never let it go.
Stop it before we lose all the subscribers. Yes, he's covering Lose Yourself. I've someone who's tried to karaoke an Eminem song, don't ever try it. It's impossible.
Don't do
he
that.
Talks faster than you. He competed in Harvard Open Mic Nights. I think that one was a competition to open for Busta Rhymes. So some really early odds throwbacks here.
Busta Rhymes, an incredibly talented
yeah,
rapper.
Really good rapper.
Oh my God.
The Harvard Crimson wrote, Vivek only emerges when Ramaswamy is outfitted entirely in black, complete with a black Kango hat. Vivek told Politico, quote, I saw myself honestly making it big through American capitalism, and that's why Eminem's story spoke to me. I wonder if the part of the story where rapacious capitalists gutted Detroit spoke to him as well, but, you know, whatever. He wants to raise the voting age to 25, which seems very hip-hop to me. So, guys.
Yo.
Bad news for you.
Kids don't get a say. Yo.
It gets worse. I'm sad to say there's an entire genre of MAGA rappers. Here's a clip from a Vice story that dug deep into this. They spent about 45 minutes with MAGA rappers.
Finish the sentence for me. MAGA rap is.
Oh my
freedom,
God.
Faith, family, guns, Trump.
Gun toting, Bible reading, God believing truth.
We've made a brand new culture.
MAGA season.
They call us MAGA rappers.
My fans and my people are just Trump crazy.
I am MAGA. Like, you can't get more MAGA than me.
Oh my God.
Trump's a boss. I'm a boss. Trump's got the hate. I got the hate. Trump had the girls. I got the girls. Trump's got the money. I'm getting the money.
Me and Mar-a-Lago, you feel me? It goes down.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Okay. So the guy with the face, the hands on the face have gotten worse. The guy with the face tattoos named Forgiato Blow, a.k.a. Kurt. His name's Kurt
A.k.a.
Jantz.
Kurt. Oh, because there already was a Curtis Blow. Can't be Curtis Blow 2 and suck that much.
There's another rapper in that clip called Stony Dude Bro. There's a whole industry of these guys who just make songs like very quickly. And what they're really good at is torturing people with songs about the news cycle. So I'm going to spare you the clip of Roger Stone dancing to Forgiato Blow's hip hop because that's just like not nice. But this is the rabbit hole I went down, in part thanks to another thing I've been working on. Yeah, it's a dark, dark place, and there's a lot of MAGA rap, and they make a lot of money.
What do they call the people that listen to them? Are they the earplug-a-los?
Maggots?
Maggots.
Maggots. And they're all from, like, Tampa. They all live
in Clearwater.
It's very like, giving that, like, English literature teacher who's like, you know, Shakespeare is a lot like rap music.
Oh my God. There's nothing more hip hop, right? Than reinforcing existing social structures.
Absolutely.
That is what rap and punk really are all about.
For sure.
Yes,
we want stuff to say exactly the same and actually be even more established.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's like the rich should have more money because it should be even more rigid.
Yeah, the original blues artists feared change. That was their issue. That's what they were.
They played right on the beat every time. No improvisation. Yep. All of those notes are written down.
On one and three. Yeah, that's what they did.
Those notes are written down.
Tommy, that's a five.
That's a hard five.
It's a hard five.
It's a hard five.
Damn.
You watched a lot of MAGA rap.
So much.
Over the weekend, I saw a little indie film made for a song called Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
Oh. How was it?
It's great.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny is great.
Awesome.
The movies are back.
That's what I thought. I'm sitting there. I'm watching trailers. I'm watching trailers for Oppenheimer. I'm watching trailers for there's Dune. There's Dead Reckoning. There's a bunch of movies I'm looking forward to. And I'm sitting there thinking the 2023, the movies are back. And then someone says, no, actually, Dial of Destiny is people think it's bombing. It's doing really poorly. It was really expensive to make and it's not doing well. What the fuck? It's great. So then I start digging. Turns out they got cocky. They brought it to the Cannes Film Festival, and it only got a 5-minute standing ovation.
Oh, that's bad.
Oh, wow.
Which is apparently in the great inflation era of Cannes.
You got to watch some Cannes standing O's, my friend.
Five minutes is nothing.
Who's been watching? 23 minutes for some best supporting actor.
23 minutes,
like,
yeah.
Madness.
It's like they're watching like the Grand Guignol.
Oh, hell yeah. Pants Labyrinth is good, though.
I don't know. Eyeballs and hands and put me to sleep.
After five minutes, I'd be like, okay, let's wrap this up, everybody.
But anyway, but here's what happened. The people that liked it, the reviewers that liked it didn't rave, and the reviewers that didn't like it were able to criticize it and pan it the same way because Crystal Skull was so bad. But this is why I wanted to talk about this, because it's like people have been trained to expect bad shit from these studios for like Crystal Skull, bad. A bunch of the DC movies, bad. Some of the latest Marvel movies have been mediocre. And so people are not going to the theaters as much. And what I wanted to talk about is the fact that Tom Cruise has Dead Reckoning coming out in a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. And there's two clips of what Tom Cruise is putting out there to get people ready for this movie.
The man at this point wants to die, is what I think.
So just already, before we started, he's in a suit. He's got goggles on. It's very intense.
This is real. Tom Cruise rides a motorcycle off a cliff in real life and then uses a parachute.
Six times today.
I mean, it does make me want to see it.
What is he doing?
He's burning through motorcycles.
Fuck yeah. The parachute opens. Tom Cruise lives. And every look at the director with his hands over his fucking face. That was
awesome.
Yeah.
The fuck?
Then the next clip. This is only one stunt.
He's 61 years old.
Yeah. 61 years young.
3, 2, 1, action.
So look at him. Two cameras, one on each hip.
Thomas Airborne.
He jumps off a cliff with a parachute. He trained to learn how to do this.
That is so dangerous.
It's insane.
Oh my God.
Take after take.
Rocks. It looks quite beautiful. Behind the scenes, we were all in absolute terror. Landing, Tom had to be flying towards the camera.
So what's he doing? Love it. Walk us through what he's doing right now.
He is flying with a parachute through the air and flying into a pickup truck to capture a perfect shot of him landing.
Oh, it is truly God. A one of a kind.
That is
Here's why.
Terrifying.
Imagine what the insurance policy was on
that. Tom Cruise, during the pandemic, there was this viral clip that went out of him on the set when they were shooting during the pandemic, basically screaming that someone had violated COVID protocol. And it got a bit, braggadocious because he said, we are what stands between the end of movies and movies.
Which
like,
is
we
what
are...
he clearly believes.
And you know what? God fucking bless him. This guy knows what it takes to get people into the theaters. He would die for us. Tom Cruise would die for a box office opening.
He will die for us eventually.
He's going to save the movies.
You're going to get all the Scientology people after you.
I'll tell you something.
Barbie's going to save the movies. But okay.
And I'll say it. I say it once. I'll say it again. If Scientology makes you that awesome, sign me the fuck up.
Oh, no.
Please don't.
Yashar's coming for you.
It's already hard enough. Please don't.
This is going to be a great arc for you, John.
What is it? Zinc and some mediocre therapy?
Yeah,
I'll do
it. Yeah, he can't be gay anymore.
Yeah, I guess
you just get started.
I guess he had to choose between parachutes or kissing a boy.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That sounds
honestly,
fun, but
cool
also your legs
hell.
Would shatter. You think you're doing that?
Yeah, I think I am doing
we
that.
We just see your body plummet the
all
second you step
is,
off a cliff.
All I'm saying is Tom Cruise would die for us.
Yeah,
I can't. And like that's the movies are back. Thank
movies
you.
Movies are back, baby.
Oh, cool.
I don't know if that makes me online or not. I don't
that.
Care.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Is he going clear? Going queer, folks. Find out next time.
Okay.
Terminally
bomb, bomb.
That's good.
That's like a fun thing. Like over the summer, like, are you going to join Scientology or are you going to keep being gay? And at the end, you decide.
Yeah.
Like for August.
I can go either way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drop some Easter eggs.
Yeah, mix it up.
Those clips were awesome.
So good.
Every once in a while, there's a movie that comes out where like the stunts and behind the scenes are like cooler than the actual movie, like Mad Max Fury Road. Like I could just watch those behind the scenes as many times as the movie. I guess one because
yeah, you're
the
one.
Movies are yeah one.
You're going into the real world to watch a movie. That's cool.
Hell yeah. Okay, I'll take it. I don't care.
All right, you're fine. Not online, and movies are back.
I don't know if I would read this, but it was Bill de Blasio and his wife Charlene McCrae's article in the New York Times announcing that they are going to be dating outside the marriage. They're not getting divorced, but they are separating. But they will continue to live together, and it is. Incredible. And what I would say, I'll just read some articles. For example, as a queer person.
There it is.
Well, you know,
put a dollar. Whenever you say as a queer person, we got to put a dollar in the jar.
Yeah. And then donate it to votesofamerica.com/fuckbands. Charlene McCrae was a lesbian before she got married to Bill de Blasio. And Bill de Blasio basically calls that out in the article. He's like, for the guy who took the chance on a woman who was an out lesbian and wrote an article called I Am a Lesbian, de Blasio said, there was a part of me that would sometimes say, is this like a time bomb ticket? Is this something that you're going to regret later on? So I always live with this stuff.
That is a crazy thing to say to the New York Times.
New York Times, baby. I loved every minute of this. It was a baffling choice. But also I was like, okay, obviously it's like, oh, we both want to be dating. But then people are going to be like, oh, are you out here cheating on your spouse? Well, we'll let everyone know at once by going to the New York Times.
3-hour interview.
Incredible. And also, it does feel kind of queer because they do seem like they're still friends, based perhaps solely on the many beautifully shot photos of them holding hands. And I guess what I liked about it is, like, this is something that, like, if you saw, like, a couple, you know, do this online, you'd be like, okay, complicated, but hey, you do you, whatever. To go to the New York Times is to take an online sentiment, which I support, and be like, I'm going to put this in the paper of note. Is so insane to me.
Can you just read these three paragraphs?
Yeah, so here at the very end, they will continue to share the home for the time being, Ms. McRae said. For now, a photo of the couple in Times Square on New Year's Eve still greets visitors, which may come to include suitors.
Oh.
Ms. McRae asked Riley if their phone numbers could be included in the newspaper.
No.
Can I put a picture from the gym in there? Mr. No. De Blasio asked.
That's funny.
He added that he was, quote, not a believer in online dating. Well, you will be soon, honey. Good luck.
How did I not make it to the end of this? Wow.
And they play a song called Mango by a artist named, I think, Camus. And it's basically like, I love you so much that whatever you need to be happy, I will be here and I support it. And I'm like, again, that's great. It's just, I've never had a kind of relationship where I'm like, we got to take it to the Times and let them know that we're fucking outside the relationship. But I support it.
Albert Camus made music. But yeah, you're right. Yes. You, when you're famous, you need a rollout strategy or else people just accuse you of cheating.
Yes.
But here's what I would have gone with, an Instagram post.
Maybe even a carousel.
You need multiple
full
images.
Carousel.
We continue to love each other, but we're separated. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
And there's just like a lot of like lovely.
Why did they do that?
I don't know.
Did they give a reason in the interview?
They had a conversation.
They said, quote, we want to get freaky, end quote.
They said, we're both hungry for some strange. Oh, I'm not sure they didn't specify that. They said two months ago.
That was real. I thought that was real.
I mean,
why did they go to the New York Times?
Oh, yeah. She said, I just want to have fun. She said, adding, as Mr. De Blasio turned to her, it's not that we haven't had fun. Thank you, honey, he said.
Every line is insane.
Barf.
And also, like, these are obviously, like, conversations that everyone has privately in their own. Like,
I guess.
You know what I mean? You know what I'm like, you've been together a long time. Hey, what do you want to do? That's fine. To take it to the Times. I loved it. I thought it was chaotic in a really fun and interesting way.
During the 3-hour interview, during which they cupped hands sporadically and once high-fived in agreement.
Yeah.
It's making me long for the Elliot Spitzer days. This is horrible.
Also, he dyed his hair, which they mention in the
article.
Yeah.
Oh, it's too dark. Okay.
What?
I never anticipated ever doing anything with hair color. He said it was now strikingly dark, close crop.
Also, what did it for her, what the final straw for her seemed to be his presidential campaign, which was
you
and the rest of America.
That's fair enough.
Nobody wanted to fuck him after that.
There's kids, right?
Yes, they're both grown, though. They're both, like, in their
20s. That could be part of the situation, too.
Yeah, their son came to the office.
But isn't it weird to say we don't plan a divorce? Where it's like, well, what happens when one of you meets someone and then you want to get divorced? You're going to be coming back to the Times again. Right. Give an update. Hey, sorry. It turns out we are going to get divorced. Wow. I loved it.
That was awesome.
We did save the best for last.
Yeah. What I mean, and thank you so much to the former first couple of
Did he really say he's not going to do online dating?
Yes. I was like, of course you will. What
bar?
Are you talking about? Exactly. Like, what bar?
He's an inconspicuous guy.
He's like 6'8", yeah.
Yeah, I guess if you're in New York and you're single, have at it.
Hey, just like, this just keeps getting better. You're going home with Bill De Blasio, and you walk into the door, and there's his wife.
Yeah, he's
still there.
With.
Lovely to meet you.
Wow.
Oh God, I'm reading this for the first time. It began with an offhand remark. Why aren't you lovey-dovey anymore? Mr. De Blasio asked his wife. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
just some things are for the Times, some things are for therapy.
I love to bring mess to the Times, and more people should be doing it.
Hallie, it's a New York Times article, so I feel like that's not too online. It's definitely the best thing anyone brought, because between that and the dinner take, this is the hardest I've laughed at a Terminally Online.
Yeah, it was a funny episode. I mean, if I do say so ourselves.
I think we can.
Hey, great.
So.
Are we doing it after the show? Is it DVD? What are we doing?
We're doing our own tomato meter.
I guess we put Hallie at a 2.
Is this certified?
Yeah, is this certified fucking fresh? Hallie's a 2. Tommy's a 4. John's a 5. I'm a 1. You're a 5. You're the deadest of them all.
Yeah.
John Lovett interviewed presidential candidate Chris Christie.
Oh, yeah. Remember that?
Yeah.
I thought it was awesome. I texted John while I was listening to it and I said, this is great. And he said, it was stressful as fuck. John, Why was it stressful as fuck?
I just want to make sure that if we're going to have Chris Christie on, it's like worthy of people's time. And it's A, not just a place where he can say whatever he wants, but also B, like we're not just doing it to have a like a old school cable news style fight. And so I just wanted to make sure that we figured out like, what are we actually trying to ask this person? What am I actually interested in? What is the value of actually talking to him? And I do think like, you know, there are places where I really wish I'd like push back and like, you know, there's always going to be that. But like in hindsight, we're like, oh, I should have like jumped in there. I shouldn't have let that go to get to the next thing. But all in all, like, I think we spent a lot of time talking about what Republicans think and why they do what they do. And once in a while, probably good to direct that at an actual Republican in the flesh, which is why ultimately I thought it was worth doing.
Did you know while recording it that you guys had a chemistry that leapt off the screen?
It's very sexual.
Sexual.
It was flirtatious at times.
Cut the tension with a knife.
Yeah.
Look, just two tri-state area boys who love pizza in America, you know? And that's what it was.
Was there any suggestion of like getting together later for drinks just to chat?
And he said no.
He said no.
He said, no, we're going to leave this here. I'm not interested in that.
He would be a funny, like, I'd love to get him off the record and hear some stories. You know, he's got some hilarious stuff.
Yeah, right after I did like I made some joke about the fact that he'd hit some traffic, and I was like, probably could have used an extra tunnel into New York. And he's like, well, it's not just one tunnel, you don't know the project. And then we kind of got into it for one second off, which I was appreciative. Yeah.
Would you have Mike Pence on?
Would we have Mike Pence on?
Yeah.
So boring.
This is a future question that I have here, Hallie, is would you have any other Republicans on? And I would love to have Mike Pence on just because of how you went in on Christie for like, how'd you square that? Like, how do you square your comments now with them? And then just doing that to Pence, who is way less quick on his feet and way deeper in to the shit than Christie was.
Pence is just a talking point machine, though. He'll just be like, well, the Constitution, my favorite. Like, he just won't say anything.
I think the standard has to be like, do we think there's like a possibility of like a good faith discussion of some kind? I think that's actually like one of the challenges of the Trump era is once you've agreed to go along with Trump, you've sort of given up any credibility or sense that you can have an honest conversation because you've sold your soul. So that's why I think we would never have real Trump people on, and it's hard to figure out the Venn diagram of people who disagree enough that it's like a worthy like debate, but the people who aren't so far gone that you're talking to like just sort of sellouts who have no scruples.
Yeah, I think it's a question of what is the purpose and the effect of having the person on, right? Like platforming gets thrown around as a word, and I think sometimes we don't like define it well enough. And it's like, I don't know that if we had Mike Pence on, that would generate any Mike Pence supporters.
Not one
right?
person.
So like, I am not afraid not that one. Having Mike Pence on to be Pod Save America listeners being like, you know what? I kind of like Mike Pence.
I
should suddenly support Mike Pence for president. But I do think that said, like, you should have a purpose of having the person on, right? And I think that, Lovett, you went into that interview with our purpose, which is, okay, great that Chris Christie is trying to defeat Trump now, but like, how did he do that 180, right? And like, shouldn't he have to answer for all the shit that he did before? And what was he thinking? And what was the decision-making process? So there was like a value to that, I think. And I think if you go into one of these interviews with that in mind and not just like, oh, I'm talking to a Republican because I'm talking to a Republican, then it could be worthwhile.
I think the other thing we learned from some of our candidate interviews in 2020 was, if you use the opportunity to ask them about things they don't often get asked about, sometimes you can elicit new information and something interesting.
Yes.
I still don't think Mike Pence is going to say anything interesting, but right. Like, I could imagine talking to Nikki Haley, trying to press her on foreign policy in ways that like the other press corps just finds boring. So they don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
So are there Republicans you think that are out there? Like, are we softening the ground for Tim Scott with that bit? Or,
I mean, part of it is like, I think that the Lovett and Christie thing was a perfect mix of he is a Republican that we'd feel comfortable having on because he's out there trying to destroy Trump. And also, he seemed desperate enough to want to be on Pod Save America.
Yeah, and also, there's no conceivable way he will be president. So they're right, sort of like, okay, good. Like, even if somehow one person was like, I will vote for Chris Christie, it's not going to happen.
Like, look, if Tim Scott wanted to come on, I would want to sit here and grill him for 30 minutes on, like, how could you have responded to this indictment by saying that, like, there's a two-tiered system of justice and they're just after Trump and blah, blah, blah. Like, you were in the Capitol that day? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, I would love to go in on that.
He's also like, I'm the kinder, gentler version of the GOP guy. And he's also just demagoguing the hell out of gay people and trans people all day long. He's saying things that are just as vicious about men and women playing sports together. I mean, he's just, you know.
Yeah. How is that like love thy neighbor as thyself, right? Yeah, I would love to ask those questions.
Yeah. I also think, like, one other sort of meta reason that it's worth considering having people like that on is all the concern around platforming. It's like the goal isn't to build like a magnificent, delicate information cathedral that you don't touch. It's like you have to try to get people to go inside. And the right doesn't give a fuck about any of this. They'll talk to anybody. Like, Joe Rogan will talk to anybody. Ben Shapiro will talk to anybody. And they spend a lot less time worrying about who they're going to platform or not, in part because they have fewer scruples. But that does leave a lot more room to think about, like, what's interesting? What makes this an exciting debate for people to listen to? What makes this contentiousness worth clicking on? And I think we would do well on our side to think a little bit more about, like, how do we keep people engaged and thinking, like, this is the center of the debate. This is where people have to come for good and for ill.
Also, if you don't want to listen, don't fucking listen.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's a podcast. Delete it.
This is from, great name, Chief Iglesias Interpreter.
Oh my God.
They want to know, I'm turning 30 soon, and I've been thinking a lot about aging and what it does to a person.
Shut the fuck up.
While I enjoy these days better in my early 20s, I can't deny that I tire more easily, get aches here and there, and know it's only going to get worse as I become older. With the PodSave team mostly hitting their 40s, wondering what you all do to stay youthful. Drink adrenochrome.
I have like a cyanide capsule in my in the back of my tooth, and every day I'm like, I can't. If I, it's there if I need it. It's there if I need it. Honestly, so that's one idea.
Can't top that. Can't top that.
Well,
if you don't exercise, you know, eat healthy. Don't go to restaurants.
I don't go to restaurants.
Yeah, I'm not giving this trolling question a real response. Shut up about your 30s. It's going to be great.
30s are great.
You're going to have a blast.
30s are great. I never felt better in my 30s.
Yeah, I actually think...
I'd give anything to be 30 again.
Oh. All right. I actually think 20s to 30s is like a lot of like brain changing. 30 to 40, you really just, your body does begin to really fall apart. If you think you're aching now, just wait.
No, for me, it was 40.
Whew. It's kind of like a fun really game, though, to like recalibrate once you realize, like, oh no, if I do something wrong, then I wake up at 2 in the morning. You kind of have to have fun with it, or else it will make you go insane.
You know what helps? Z-biotics.
Yeah, like, am I dying or did I have a snack too late?
Yeah, that's the real issue.
Sleep. Sleep's important.
Which you won't be able to do.
Which you won't be able to do.
That'll wrap up the advice column. That'll wrap
great.
Up Terminally Online.
What a note to leave on. God damn it, Elijah.
Oh, sorry.
Learn how to sequence a fucking show.
You'll never be able to sleep again.
You want some advice on that?
Yeah. What kind of? Yeah, I got advice for Elijah after we're done.
This is, go ahead. Go ahead. Give the advice because Cameron could use it. How all to improve right. The podcast. This is what the people want.
TM all right. The red table.
Good stuff.
Thanks for listening to Terminally Online. We'll see you all next week.
Vacations are always good. Sometimes they're even great. And Celebrity Cruises is about to ruin all of that. Because once you explore with us, you'll never want a vacation any other way. And with new quick Caribbean escapes, you'll never want a weekend any other way either. Celebrity Cruises. Nothing comes close. Visit celebrity.com, call 1-800-CELEBRITY, or contact your travel advisor. Ships Registry, Malta and Ecuador.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something you need to get off your chest? What is your outlet for working through the things that stress you out? I do the crossword. That helps. I also go to therapy, you know, and I say, this week, I don't want to make any progress. She's like, ugh, that's what you said last week. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/PSA today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/PSA.